Hello and welcome to episode 43 of Celiac.com podcast edition. In this episode, we talk about breast milk versus formula, accuracy of the duodenal test, renal disease, imaging exogenous enzymes, eating on the road, and savory venison pie. Celiac.com podcast edition is your regular update on news and important topics from our website. Please leave a comment on our blog or write to the podcast edition directly. Our email address is podcast@celiac.com. Celiac.com podcast edition is sponsored by the Gluten-Free Mall. Since 1998, the Gluten-Free Mall has provided safe and convenient online shopping for people on restricted diets due to celiac disease, autism, ADHD, or other health reasons. The Gluten-Free Mall has the best prices and selection of gluten-free, wheat-free, casein-free, and other allergy-related health foods and special dietary products that you can find on the internet. Here's a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you shop at the Gluten-Free Mall between now and December 31st, 2011, use the term podcast 11, that's podcast in all small letters, followed by the number 11, and get a 10% discount. Here's how you do it. When you're ready to check out from the Gluten-Free Mall, you'll see a coupon code box next to your total. To get your 10% off, make sure you write the term podcast 11 using all small letters and the numerals 1-1. This does not count for shipping or taxes, limit one per customer, and offer not valid with other specials or promotions. Now, the news. Breast milk versus formula. A team of researchers recently set out to assess the effects of milk feeding behavior and intestinal colonization of beneficial bacteria in infants with a risk of developing celiac disease. The team studied 75 full-term newborns with at least one first-degree relative who suffered from celiac disease. They classified the newborns according to feeding practice, whether they were breast or formula fed, and genetic risk. The team found that breastfed infants showed healthier intestinal bacteria than formula fed. The results indicate that both the type of milk feeding and genetic risk influence the types of bacteria that colonize in the intestinal tract, and possibly also influence risk for developing celiac disease. Accuracy of the duodenal test. The small intestine is quite long, and villus atrophy can be dispersed throughout. Therefore, it can be easily missed, especially in children. Experts recommend that at least 4 tissue samples be taken to circumvent this problem, but have not specified the optimal sites from which to take the sample. Jejunal biopsies are the norm, but they're hard on the patient and technically complicated. Duodenal biopsies are safer and easier, and there's currently some data suggesting that the duodenal bulb may be the only site of villus atrophy. Until now, it was not known whether a biopsy of the duodenal bulb alone would be sufficient to identify established celiac disease in adult patients. Not only would it be sufficient, but a recent study has determined that villus atrophy might only be present in the duodenal bulb and therefore is the optimal site for biopsy in diagnosing celiac disease. Renal disease. Doctors often see elevated levels of celiac antibodies in renal patients, but until this recent study, the relationship between celiac disease and end-stage renal disease was not fully understood. To gain a better picture of possible connections, a team of researchers conducted a study of end-stage renal disease in individuals with celiac disease. They reviewed patient reports from pathology departments all across Sweden over a time period of about 40 years. The results of their study show that people with biopsy-verified celiac disease do indeed face a higher risk of developing end-stage renal disease. Imaging exogenous enzymes. Exogenous enzymes are enzymes created outside the body. Doctors use exogenous enzymes, usually orally, to treat several diseases, such as pancreatic insufficiency and lactose intolerance. Because these enzymes are protein-based, they can be inactivated and/or digested in the GI tract. A research team recently established a convenient fluorescence-based test to measure the activity of therapeutic enzymes live and in real time in the GI tract. By using this new and simple scientific method, the team was able to observe differences in the live performance of certain enzymes which could not be identified under regular laboratory conditions. This new imaging method could be used for live study on other oral enzymes and may prove useful in improving current treatments. And now for some popular topics from celiac.com. Eating on the road. Here's a story that comes to us from the Journal of Gluten Sensitivity, summer 2011 issue. If you're driving across America's highways and your tummy reminds you that it's been a while since you've fed it anything, make sure to have snacks in a to-go bag. Even snacks can be nutritious and add to your daily fiber account if you think ahead. If you have a small cooler or insulated bag, make this your dedicated to-go bag. Tuck in some yogurt cups, cottage cheese snack packs, fresh vegetables, and dip with a frozen ice pack. Hummus is great with fresh vegetables, but coupled with gluten-free pita bread, flatbread, or crackers, it provides the perfect rich and salty snack. If you want a munchy type of snack, spoon some trail mix into a small self-seal bag. Add dried seasoned soybeans for extra nutrition, but no chocolate because it will melt all over the seat during your long road trip. Air-popped popcorn is also a good option, especially if you add toasted almond slices and dried cranberries. Or try Parmesan and garlic powder on your popcorn to go with a sprinkle of basil. Assuming that rest stops will have a microwave available, there's a large variety of gluten-free individual food packets you can take, like Thai kitchen rice noodles, flavored or unflavored oatmeal packets as long as they're uncontaminated. Pack some baked beans with cooked sausage slices in a plastic container. Add a side of gluten-free cornbread and drink, and you've got a full meal. Cooked chicken wings can be eaten cold, but remember to take plenty of extra napkins along. Don't let this disease keep you from hitting the road this summer. There are always viable options of foods to take along when you're far from home. Venison, ale, and mushroom pie. Here's a recipe destined to make this autumn a season to remember. This pie has a crisp, golden crust and rich, succulent filling. Pureed white beans and onion thicken the sauce. If you don't want them pureed, just add to the rest of the ingredients at the start of the slow cooking stage. Use about 12 ounces of venison or beef chunks. Wash, trim, dry with a paper towel. This will make it spit less when you fry it. Cover the bottom of your pan with a thin layer of vegetable oil. Brown the meat. Don't overcrowd the pan. You may need to do it in two batches. Set aside once the meat is brown. Put two chopped onions and three whole squashed garlic cloves in the pan and cook slowly until translucent. Add a little extra oil if needed. Set that aside. Cook two carrots diced and 7 ounces of chestnut mushrooms for 2 or 3 minutes. Then add the meat back to the pan. Add some chicken or beef stock, gluten-free ale, thyme, tomato paste, and pepper and salt if needed. The liquid should cover the meat. Put the lid on and simmer gently, checking the levels of liquid every half hour or so. If it gets dry, add water. Meanwhile, put the cooked onions, garlic, and 1 can of undrained, whiter cannellini beans in a blender and puree them. This will form the thickened gravy for your pie. You can leave the onions and beans unpureed if you prefer. When the meat and vegetables have cooked for about 1.5 hours, add the puree. Check for seasoning. Cook for a few minutes, stirring until the gravy is the texture that you like. This stew is now ready to be eaten by itself, frozen for another occasion, or to be used as the pie filling. Leave it to cool before making your pie. To make your crust, cut some cold butter into a bowl of gluten-free flour, either by hand or in your food processor. Add water a little at a time till the dough coheres in a slightly claggy ball. Wrap it in plastic wrap. Set aside for at least 15 minutes so the GF flour absorbs the water properly. If you make it ahead of time, keep your dough in the fridge, but allow it to come to room temperature before you roll it, or it'll be too stiff to work. If you aren't sure of the fit of your dishes, measure how much stew you have and see how that much water fits in your dish. Place a layer in the bottom of the dish and put the cooled filling in. Dampen the edge of your pastry crust and place on the top. Crimp it together with the fork or pinch the edges. Brush egg wash on if you want a deeper golden color. Bake for 35 minutes at 340 degrees Fahrenheit or a until the pastry is golden brown. And that's all for this episode of the podcast edition from everyone here at celiac.com. Thank you for listening.